Chapter 9. The road was crowded, and there were screens of corn stalk and straw matting on both sides and matting over the top, so that it was like the entrance at a circus or a native village. We drove slowly in this matting-covered tunnel and came out onto a bare, cleared space where the railway station had been. The road here was below the level of the riverbank, and all along the side of the sunken road there were holes dug in the bank with infantry in them. The sun was going down, and looking up along the bank as we drove, I saw the Austrian observation balloons above the hills on the other side, dark against the sunset. We parked the cars beyond a brickyard. The ovens and some deep holes had been equipped as dressing stations. There were three doctors that I knew. I talked with the major and learned that when it should start and our cars should be loaded, we would drive them back along the screened road and up to the main road along the ridge where there would be a post and other cars to clear them. He hoped the road would not jam. It was a one-road show. The road was screened because it was in sight of the Austrians across the river. Here at the brickyard, we were sheltered from the rifle or machine gun fire by the riverbank. There was one smashed bridge across the river. They were going to put over another bridge when the bombardment started and some troops were to cross at the shallows up above the bend of the river. The major was a little man with upturned mustaches. He'd been in the war at Libya and wore two wound stripes. He said that if the thing went well, he would see that I was decorated. I said I hoped it would go well, but that he was too kind. I asked him if there was a big dugout where the drivers could stay, and he sent a soldier to show me. I went with him and found the dugout, which was very good. The drivers were pleased with it, and I left them there. The major asked me to have a drink with him and two other officers. We drank rum, and it was very friendly. Outside, it was getting dark. I asked what time the attack was to be, and they said as soon as it was dark. I went back to the drivers. They were sitting in the dugout talking, and when I came in, they stopped. I gave them each a package of cigarettes, macedonias, loosely packed cigarettes that spilled tobacco and needed to have the ends twisted before you could smoke them. Manera lit his lighter and passed it around. The lighter was shaped like a Fiat radiator. I told them what I had heard. "Why didn't we see the post when we came down?" Passini asked. It was just beyond where we turned off.
"That road will be a dirty mess," Manera said. "They'll shell the out of us."
"Probably."
"What about eating, Lieutenant? We won't get a chance to eat after this thing starts."
"I'll go and see now," I said.
"You want us to stay here, or can we look around?"
"Better stay here." I went back to the major's dugout, and he said the field kitchen would be along and the drivers could come and get their stew. He would loan them mess tins if they did not have them. I said I thought they had them. I went back and told the drivers I would get them as soon as the food came. Manera said he hoped it would come before the bombardment started. They were silent until I went out. They were all mechanics and hated the war.